Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome to Rosecast, the number one Bachelorette recap podcast, hosted by a male and a racial best friend duo.
What an episode.
I got a question for you, AB.
Wow. What? Was that the greatest last 30 minutes I've ever seen? Yes.
Oh, you liked it. Oh, this is going to be a good, this might be a good recap then.
Yeah, I did. I fucking enjoyed it. It was entertaining.
I disagree.
It was entertaining.
Hard disagree. My question for you was, should I sugarcoat how I'm feeling about what's going on?
No, don't sugarcoat
should
it.
Should I hold back?
You asked me if I enjoyed it from an entertainment standpoint. Yes. From a, if you know, caring about Rachel and Gabby and their well-being and yeah, all these guys' well-being. Absolutely not.
Debatable. Undebatable, I should say.
They're going to do a Hulu and Netflix documentary about that rose ceremony. It's going to be a double.
They're each going to have to do one.
Each service will need to do one. This was such a good moment in TV history.
I feel like there's going to be tell-alls from multiple people
yeah,
involved.
Exactly. It's going to be a 30 for 30.
I can't believe what happened. I can't believe that happened.
Can you believe that happened?
Here's my opening notes. The two-lead format is the worst executed idea in the history of this show. And this is a show that has a long history of poorly executed ideas.
This is the Bachelor franchise has done a lot of bad things to people directly impacting their lives. This is by far the worst thing that they've ever done. I mean that.
It was, I'd have to run through the, go down the line, but this shouldn't have happened. This was so easily avoidable. This did not need to happen. There's some other things that are like, okay, never been in that situation. There is precedent for dating shows with multiple leads. This is not the first time this has ever been attempted. And they are botching it at every turn. I don't want to do the whole bit now, but they should have delayed this season even more so they could have enough time to reshoot something from scratch. Because it just, I can't believe this is occurring.
You know when you have everyone in the office, like all the producers come in a room and then you have a big board on and they're probably going through how this is going to work. I think they just didn't do that. They didn't do the whiteboard meeting of how this is going to work.
I have a very similar note, and it's, I wish I could have been in the room when they talked about this. Somebody definitely said, this is how it's going to happen. And then other people had to have said, let's do it.
Let's do it.
They had to have known this was going to happen.
I just can't imagine you get a bunch of smart people in a room and you come up with how this season's going to work. You draw it out like a diagram. Step by step, week by week, what are we doing? What's the roast ceremonies look like? What's the dates look like? They mapped it all out, I assume. What do the roast ceremonies look like? You would have assumed they mapped it out. Everyone signed off on it. But I don't know that that happened.
As we'll get into in the episode, I think they thought this was a good idea. I think they knew this was going to happen. I think they thought it was a good idea. There's evidence throughout the episode.
It was great TV.
I disagree. I left upset. I was like mad. I don't know why, but I generally am with you and I'm like, wow, this is crazy. I'm enjoying this, but it just struck me as like, what are you doing?
What is going through your head? You've seen enough.
I've seen enough. I put my foot down.
I'm ready to keep going. I'm ready to keep going, see where this goes.
All right. 21.
What other wild shit can you do to these people?
Let's do the episode. There's 21 guys left. Eric has chosen Gabby, officially. Termaine.
An obscene amount of guys, by the way. Just obscene.
That really is. There used to be seasons with like 24.
We're 3 weeks in. This is absurd.
Termaine has yet to choose a lane. There's some discussion, like, who do you feel a spark with? And then Meatball is not sure which direction he's leaning. Bachelorette house. Rachel says, hey, you know, at what point do you think we need to figure out where everyone stands? The sooner the better. That seems like a sooner the better situation.
Just two girls wondering what's going on here.
What's going on? They don't know.
Well, can you believe that nobody has told us how this is going to work yet? Can you believe it?
There also seems to be, they seem to have differing views on how the dating pool creation should occur. Gabby says, I want them to tell me. I want them to make the decision and we can go from there. The guys, the guys in the middle, that's unsettling that 3 weeks or how, you know, 4 days probably. You're still waffling. Make a decision, then we'll go from there. That's how Gabby positions it. Rachel says, well, we're the leads. We can just tell them.
Do you think the girls have a lot of control through this? It seems like they've been given, like, they can do what they want. And the format is based on what they're wanting. And that's why maybe it's so... I feel like they're letting them... They didn't give them guidelines on what they needed to do and how this is going to work. And they're kind of in charge, almost. Based on, conversations like this make me think, like, no one has... They've left it up to them to decide how they'd like it to work. Which I guess is an okay thought
on paper.
But they've never ran a TV show before, a TV dating show with two people. So why would you leave it up to them?
That's the way it's coming off, that they are just making it up as they go, Gabby and Rachel. I don't think that's what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're probably getting guidance. I don't know. Maybe they're getting, I don't know. I don't know how it's working.
Maybe the editors and producers are throwing them on the bus. Like, oh, this wasn't our idea. This was them two came up with this.
My thought after the episode was like, they're getting opinions from the producers, but they aren't being told what they have to do. So maybe they're being given options on how they want to proceed, and then the women are choosing. I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't know
or they're getting set up. They're getting set up.
I think they're getting
to fail.
I tend to believe that.
Yeah. Okay.
So at this point, I figure they're about to have a draft and
draft. Yeah. Hell yeah.
The way they were talking was like, it's possible not all the draft pick signs could have like a Kumara Rocker situation.
Yeah.
Like maybe somebody doesn't go, I'll take a year off. Jesse with the boys. 2 one-on-one dates this week. The rest of you is get a group date.
Just a heads up. These girls are serious. Okay. Just so you guys know, they want to find a husband.
There's a lot of talk about how Rachel already sent home her one-on-one, her only one-on-one date, sent him home already. So when Jesse drops that card on the table and says, this is from Rachel, it's almost, they take it as like, oh, shit.
No.
Jesse, the angel of death.
I don't want to be on this card.
And it's Zach. Anything else here?
No, full disclosure, I didn't know who Zach was.
Yeah, me neither.
Had no clue. Never seen that man before in my life.
Full disclosure, we're probably going to zoom through these. I just want to get to the rose ceremony this episode.
The last 30 minutes was electric.
It will live in infamy one way or another.
And we're going to have a lot to say.
Zach and Rachel one-on-one date, daytime.
Karamo in the mix. What's
Karamo, famous of Real World Philadelphia fame.
Did you
in Challenge
not-
fame.
Well, yeah, he was on one season of The Challenge and he did terrible.
He was on The Challenge. I'm trying to make tie-ins where we can.
Was it you that said Karamo should be The Bachelor? Was that you?
I don't think I said that. Someone in the mailbag, I think, proposed that he should host.
I was thinking someone said he should be the lead, and I thought it was you, maybe. And I thought having him on here might be testing the waters. You know, how the numbers look when Karamo's
maybe,
on
maybe Karamo's a little too good. He's a little too TV-y. He's
maybe
too
they
t-
need someone more
TV-y. Maybe. Karamo's I like a... For example, later in this episode, Gabby is not TV-y.
Yeah.
That's TV-y.
I understand.
Yeah.
You don't need to explain
just for the
this
people
to me.
Who are listening.
TV-y.
That's TV-y.
Yeah.
TV-y. That's a TV-y person right
that's
there.
That's a TV-y ass person.
Yeah.
Karamo. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know his status either. That's another thing.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That matters, I think. Yeah. Anyway, Karamo's plan is to send them to a movie premiere. Red carpet experience, if you will. I have here, I hope this is better than the Joe Millionaire one. It was not, and I should have known that.
It's the exact same, actually. It was
identical, maybe a little worse.
It was identical. It's the same thing.
I think they actually got to see a movie, at least. Anything else on this? I guess Karamo talked to him for a while.
Karamo talked to him. They had snacks. They had the champagne. They had a nice spread. Did you notice the spread, Rim?
Nope.
Red velvet cupcakes, macaroons. You know I fuck with those. Heavy. Mm-hmm. You know that. I would have taken some in my pockets, would have taken them to the movie premiere with me. A gigantic tub of jumbo shrimp. You didn't see the shrimp? A gigantic
tub. I was writing a whole bunch of writing Karamo notes.
There were 300 gigantic jumbo shrimp in a bucket.
You're describing a good spread.
It was an unlimited shrimp situation. And then I think there were gummy worms. It was made for us. I don't know how you missed this. This was a spread for me and
I'll run it back. Back at the house. Maybe I'll slow down the back at the house, make it a little somber. Okay, so I thought this was smart of Gabby to utilize this time.
Yeah.
Go to the house. Yeah. There's 20 people sitting around. They're not doing anything today. We have seen these drop-ins before. They usually go poorly. Especially an unannounced drop-in.
Well, an unannounced in no plan drop-in is awkward.
So Gabby arrived and just went to the back where they were all hanging out. So it seemed to me like they weren't expecting her.
Yeah, I agree.
There were probably some guys here who like hadn't showered yet. These drop-ins that have occurred on previous seasons, sometimes they're like, we're going to cancel the cocktail party and hang out by the pool all day. Everybody gets time to prepare. It's established. Get time.
Established pool party. Sure.
Established pool party. This was just kind of
cookout.
Oh, shit. Gabby's here. That was the reaction. Was like, oh, shit. What do we do?
Agreed. And Gabby didn't have anything to do either.
This is what we're going to do.
She didn't have that.
Yeah.
She just said, what do you guys do all day? And they're like, toss the football around. So then they started tossing the football around. I didn't know what was going on.
Tossing the pigskin.
That's all they wanted to do.
That's what we do all day. We toss the pigskin. Okay.
So no one's pulling Gabby for some one-on-one time.
Nobody.
Now, even if you're not pursuing Gabby, maybe half of them think I'm here for Rachel. I can hang out with the fellas. Even if you're not pursuing Gabby, you should still get one-on-one time with her, in my opinion, because A, gives you a chance to tell her I'm pursuing Rachel. B, you give a good impression to Gabby. Gabby's going to go say, hey, Rachel, you know who's really sweet and really into you?
Oh,
fucking
that's interesting.
Ethan or whatever.
Sure.
But that's not what
happened. Make a good impression on Gabby there in that super relaxed situation where you can have a relaxed conversation. It's not like you're breaking up with her. Yeah, that's a good point. But what about the people that are interested in her that did not? Do you have anything to say about them that didn't pull
her?
Yeah,
I mean, unexplainable. I hope none of them showered and they felt nervous about speaking
with
her.
Why did Nate
not
pull her? He had a date with her.
I don't know. Maybe he did and they didn't show it. You never know. I'm in my... This is going to be a big anti-production episode from Rim and production conspiracy corners all over the place on this episode. But anyway, this lasted about 90 seconds of television time before Gabby just kind of...
I don't
want to
do this.
Out of there.
I don't want to do this
fun.
Anymore.
I feel like I'm just throwing the sport deodorant commercial. There's a bunch of shirtless guys are playing football, and I'm just standing here.
I have no interest in this. I'm out. This sucks.
This sucks.
this event, you guys all suck. Yeah, are a bad hang. You guys are all a bad hang.
Back on the date, this is when Karamo does a little interview with Zach and Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
Zach says, I felt something for Rachel right away, and Rachel and Karamo acted as if that was the best answer they've ever heard to a question. It just seemed like a pretty boilerplate thing to me, and they're like, wow, this is a catch, Rachel. Then a little fashion show.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's it. Anything else?
I don't think so.
Meanwhile, at the mansion, Gabby's going through it. The sun is going down behind the mountains. Is the sun setting on her shot at love?
Some are wondering.
She's crying. At the house, there's a Gabby date card. I've never seen a date card delivered while the lead is interspersed with a lead bawling. That's got to be the first. mean,
nuts. Gabby's crying alone, wondering if anyone likes her. And then, fellas,
here's
Gabby
your
date card
from Gabby.
Yeah. And it goes to Eric.
It kind of expected. I feel like Eric was upper tier.
What did you think of the Zach and Rachel one-on-one date? Nighttime.
They got dressed to the nines. They went to see the movie premiere of Me and You. I didn't piece that together at this point.
I thought it was a real movie for a second.
I thought it was a real movie. I said, I didn't know this movie.
Streaming on Disney
Plus
or Hulu.
Pretty good. Yeah.
The movie was fake. The paparazzi were fake.
They hit the red carpet. They have fake photographers out there acting like they're, you know, Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel stepping out of the car, snapping pics. It's like 30 people snapping pics. And then they get their own private viewing of the movie, Me and You. Then they bring out the piano. Guy starts playing. Matt White. Got to give him his credit.
Yeah, sure.
Instead of the movie Me and You, it was actually a movie about me and you, Rachel and Zach.
Home videos.
This is a rip from Joe Millionaire. They did this.
Did they do this exact thing?
They did this. They went to a movie theater and it played home videos.
They did do that, but
this
it was
happened.
Just of the Joes.
It was just the Joes. Yeah, the Millionaire Joes.
Wow, I didn't know it was that
they
much of a rip.
They said it was going to be a movie premiere. Turned out to be a movie of home videos, just like this.
This also had some messages from their parents. This struck me as putting this relationship on the fast track.
I agree, yeah.
Not your typical get-to-know-you...
Front of the line.
...hangout day.
This is the Disney Fast Pass, Rim.
This absolutely
was
the Fast Pass.
Skip past the rest of the line. Right to the front of the relationship tier.
And afterwards, after they kiss for a while, basically the film, if you want to call it that, ends, and they're like, wow, and then they make out. And then after that...
wow.
They basically were like,
wow,
unbelievable.
Home movies.
Wow, home movies. That's me, and that was you. Crazy. So...
Truly unbelievable.
Who's all that coming? Rachel asks Zach about his dad, who is not in the message portion of the video. It's just his mom. And then Zach tells a story. His dad wanted to be a pilot. They would go to the airports and watch the planes fly over, and he named the planes. And then Rachel says, I did the exact same thing with my dad. Which tells me they knew that, and that's why they set up
this date. The producers knew that, obviously.
So they teed it up. They teed it up, and
what are the chances
they knocked it out of the park?
That two people randomly were put on a date where they did this thing that I've never heard of someone ever doing.
Oh, the watching the planes.
Watching planes, yeah. Nobody else, I know nobody that's done this one time. Who in the world?
Wayne's World.
Nobody goes to the airport, drives to the airport, sits there and watches airplanes. You can just look in the sky and see airplanes occasionally. It's really not
a movie with Bruce Willis, the kid. I feel like that was an airport related film, The Terminal.
So yeah, the producers knew this was something.
All the footage is here already for their engagement montage. Yeah. And the things they were saying after the date stopped me in my tracks, AB. You got the typical, I feel like I spent time, weeks with you already.
Feels like we've known each other for weeks.
To the camera, or Zach says, already one of the best nights of my life. To the camera, Zach is crying about how real this was. It felt like episode 8. This felt like they were getting ready to, he just got a rose to go to hometowns. That's what it just, everything felt like that. And then he says he's falling for her.
Yeah.
Not just falling, but really, really hard.
It's early for this, yeah. It's early.
Rachel refers to what she's experiencing with Zach as, quote, unconditional love. There are no conditions on their love. She started the daytime date. If you run it back, she said, I really want to get, I feel like I don't know anything about Zach. We had chemistry. I feel like I don't know anything about Zach. That's how the date started.
Yeah, I don't know anything about him either until this date.
And now, unconditional.
Unconditional love, period. He's going to be here for a while, Rem.
Yeah. I think sew it up, honestly.
Did you notice when they do all the talking, they've kissed, the piano's played, the video's played, whatever. Then they're going to kiss again, and the piano starts playing again. So do you think Matt White was watching them?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, he stopped playing when they he's peeking over his piano top, sees him about to kiss, and he starts playing again. The piano music played again.
Reacting to the, like the guy, the you know, whoever's playing the piano in the middle of Von Maur, like.
Yeah.
Anyway.
This was a bad date, I thought. No dinner, no movie. Disappointing for me. I was expecting, you told me I was going to go to a red carpet premiere. Mm-hmm. I'm expecting to go to frickin', you know, Top Gun. That's where I want to go. I want Tom Cruise there. I want a star there. I'm expecting to see a star. I'm dressed to the nines, and then I walk into your fake paparazzi, and you show me clips of myself, and no new movie? No popcorn?
Yeah, I've already seen half
no
this
dinner?
Movie.
I've seen that. I've seen half this movie already.
I remember that.
And I'm expecting stars. I can't reiterate that enough. I was told that this was a red carpet premiere, and Rachel's like, wow, I can't believe I've never done that before. This is going to be awesome. And then she didn't get it. She didn't get the red carpet premiere.
The note from Karamo wasn't enough for you? Just a little like, hey guys, Karamo is still involved. He got like a fantasy suite card note.
Yeah.
You're welcome, Karamo. So yeah, Zach, not going anywhere. Gabby and Eric went on one date, daytime. This is where they are building on the, are people not interested in Gabby? That's the through line of this episode. Mm-hmm. Three's a crowd. The third wheel here is Gabby's grandpa.
Gabby's grandpa, the date. I told you the date was coming. It came. He was going to be here. Mm-hmm. He might get another one, frankly. This might not be his last date.
This isn't his last time in Bachelor Mansion, is the feeling I get.
Oh, okay.
Nate notes that this 2-on-1 is with a family member, which is a pretty big deal this early, regardless of who the family member is. Did you perceive it to be like, oh, wow, this is a special day? Or did you think, oh, they're just trying to get Gabby's grandpa in here?
We're just trying to get Gabby's grandpa here. If I was Eric, this would blow. I hate this. This is terrible.
Strong words.
It's terrible. No, this is not a moment where it's like, wow, I get a real chance to impress someone in your family. It's like, no, this is a big Bachelor star that's coming on. Yeah, you might as well have Nick Vile here. That's all this is.
I'm
Bachelor
the third
Nation.
Wheel in my date.
This is a Bachelor Nation star that's joining our date. It has nothing to do with Gabby. I'm not learning anything about her family that I didn't already know.
Grandpa John was in the back seat in the middle, like trying to get his one-liners off.
Yes. And also, Grandpa John isn't trying to get to know me. He's just trying to fire off one-liners so he can be the bachelor on Bachelor Old People. That's all this was.
That's what it was. He really did not. He wasn't trying to get to know Eric.
He's not interacting with me at all. This stinks. I'm basically on the date to try to get this guy to be even more popular than he is with Bachelor Nation.
Also, not the best use of Grandpa John. Who thought, hey, let's take, you know, the gregarious one-liners grandpa to the sound bath on the side of the road in a tent?
Well, we got a funny scene where he was sleeping. That was funny.
Well, yeah, I mean, this guy can do gags. Chicken salad at anything. Grandpa John's not going to fail, but that was about 90 seconds of screen time, if that, before we know it, they're laser bowling. Now he's in his element, where the other seniors are in the afternoon. This to me seemed like obvious priming the pump for the senior bachelor.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, hey, another single senior happens to be bowling here. Same time, why don't you come hang out with John? Why don't you let my man Jay spit game to you? And he was sitting there like, ah. He was in his element. Anything else here? I mean, Gabby and Eric snuck a little kiss.
Yeah,
Gabby
and Eric
didn't learn anything about either of them.
Snuck away and had a little alone time away from old John. It was fine. This was an absolute farce of a date, and this wasn't a real thing. This is just, I would feel really bad if I was
Eric. Kill some time.
Yeah. This was getting your big stars out in front of the camera and letting him shine for entertainment.
That's a good perspective. You don't want a Bachelor Nation favorite to be on your date. It takes time and attention away from you, and it tells you the date's not about you.
The date's definitely not about you. This date was about Grandpa John, not about Eric. I didn't learn anything about Eric.
No. We're not learning anything about anybody here, really. There's too little time spent on everybody. We go without a commercial break to the nighttime portion, which is dinner out in the cold. Family talk right away.
Eric gets into, hey, I love my parents. They're the best. Looking for that kind of love. You know, seen it once, seen this a million times.
Did you think this was a really strange conversation and how this worked? How this happened? What happened here?
The whole thing?
Yeah, whole thing. Start to finish.
Stay tuned for a conspiracy corner.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a Zapruder film. It's a conspiracy corner. I promise. But yeah, it was a little...
It's strange.
I think we're missing some pieces to the puzzle.
That's what I'm wondering. It didn't seem like I had the whole full picture here on why this ended like it did.
Yeah. And it was... I think Eric came off as like not caring that much, which I'm not sure is entirely accurate.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But I don't think that's what happened, and I'll get into it later. Okay. So Gabby, the parent talk takes Gabby down the road of discussing her mom and how she was more or less abandoned by her after she moved out. They're estranged. Quote, I'll never know what it's like to have a mother's love. She's so emotional.
That's heartbreaking.
Discussing this, yes. She gets up and walks away.
Yeah.
Discusses with the producers. There's a lot of fourth wall breaking. We see a lot of behind the scenes stuff this season.
I love that stuff.
Yeah. And she says, I can't explain what it's like to have a mom who doesn't love you. Quote, am I too broken for anyone to love? I'm terrified. What if Eric decides I'm not for him?
Wow.
Conspiracy corner.
Oh.
Those last three sentences, I believe, were spliced in from a different time in this season, probably much later.
Oh, wow.
First.
Wow.
Some of that stuff didn't make sense given the situation. Quote, what if Eric decides I'm not for him?
Why would Eric?
What? What? Why would you? Why would? What would prompt you to say that? What did Eric do that caused that reaction at this date? I posit nothing. He didn't do anything that.
I think they're saying like Eric shared the story of his family, his and the love that his parents had for each other and him.
What and if I
then
can't
she
give him
said.
That?
That she never had that. What if I...
Yeah. Okay, yeah. That logic tracks.
Sure.
If I know speaking audio like I think I do, those last three lines were said indoors. They sounded differently than the first line.
Yeah, wow.
I'm almost positive. That's a to the camera,
holy
whatever
cow.
They call it, thing.
Holy
that's not
cow.
A huge deal. That's I'm just saying that's what occurred. Another, this is maybe
that's
more
a huge deal. You're blowing the top off the whole operation, I'd say.
No, she still was emotional about what she was discussing. She
just didn't say those couple things.
I don't think she said, I don't think she was expressing
you
what if
she
Eric
was
doesn't
just,
like me in that moment.
You think she was just emotional because she was talking about a very, you know, a heartbreaking part of her life, not about anything to do with Eric or the journey even. Do you think she in that moment was feeling like unlovable? Because
that's what they portrayed. Maybe not.
Maybe not. So maybe it was just she needed a moment from
because
the conversation.
It's hard to discuss.
Because it's hard to discuss. I can buy that.
I also buy that she doesn't want to have to do this over and over again with, you know, the next 7 one-on-one dates she has with 7 different people. Zapruder film time, AB. And you ready?
Mm-hmm.
I hate doing this stuff. Many moons ago, I used to just take the show at face value. I felt it was easier and more enjoyable that way. But I can't help what I see.
You've seen enough.
I've seen enough. When Gabby gets up from the table, she's looking at Eric and she's kind of nodding. So Eric didn't say anything after she went through all that and kind of bared her soul to him.
Yeah.
It's just shown as like an awkward silence. Gabby gets up from the table and she's nodding and leaves.
Yeah.
Eric's mouth is moving. He's talking when that happens. They cut that audio. Eric is saying something when she gets up and walks away. Okay. And they only show a split second of her walking away from the other angle where Eric's like smiling almost. Not to say that Eric was flippant about what she was saying, but he said something. I don't know what he said, but he wasn't just like, whoa, what the fuck is wrong with her? That wasn't his reaction. That's not what it was, but that's what it was shown to us as.
That's good info. I'm
and
glad
when
you provided that.
You splice that in about like, what if Eric doesn't love me? He comes off like kind of a prick. The whole is Gabby lovable storyline, the foundation is firm now, combined with what happened at the drop-in earlier. Little things make a big difference. That made a huge difference to not show Eric saying anything.
If this is all, if this conspiracy is true.
It's true. His mouth's going like this.
Which I lean toward.
It's true. That's all. I will post this on our social with the red circles and all the shit.
If this is true, Rim's conspiracy changes everything.
Anyway. So after there's a break, she's talking to the producer. Anything else on that? I mean,
no, I don't think so. No, okay. This was just a weird, weird date.
I think it would make a lot more sense if we knew what actually happened.
Agreed.
After the break, she's still talking with the producers about how she's too complicated to the camera. She says the pressure of being the bachelorette really hit her. Can't she still do it? Can she find love? She seems to be afraid, she says, of what she might have with Eric. Maybe it's getting too real already, AB. She's scared it might not work out. Or maybe he likes Rachel, too. We don't know for sure yet.
I believe he does, right? I think in previous episodes, there was something between both of them. Maybe kisses between both.
And that audio.
In the audio.
Anyway, back with Eric, she kind of explains, I don't want to mess this up. This is a big deal. What did you make of Eric's response? It wasn't the most comforting thing, but it was kind of like, you're fine. You got it.
Yeah, he said, you got this. He just said, you know, he just wants her to be honest with him. And then she climbs on his lap and they kiss.
Was she on his lap? I couldn't tell. I thought maybe she was like standing crouching by him a little bit.
No, I think she hopped on the lap. There was a table in front, but I'm pretty sure she hopped on the lap there. He comforted her a little bit, I guess. I don't know. Just another.
That seems like a good sign for him if she hops on the lap after that.
Agreed. Yeah, agreed. And then he got the rose. She has a good line here. I'm the imperfect bachelorette, but in some people's eyes, I'll be perfect. Put it on a t-shirt or a poster.
That is a good line.
Great line.
Anything else on that date?
I don't think so. Just weird date. Grandpa date. I thought we'd get disappointing, I'd say. Disappointing.
You thought we'd get what? More of?
More entertainment. Date. Besides him sleeping the one time, it was, the first time we saw Grandpa John, it was like a lightning bolt going across the sky.
Revelation.
Come on. He was incredible. This one?
Just kind of hanging out.
It just didn't do it for me.
Straight into the group date from this. They're already dressed for it. Wedding dresses. Photo shoot.
Build the biggest group date ever, as if that's a good thing.
19-on-2.
That's the worst thing.
Yeah.
Just
this is
acting
the most
like
unwieldy,
this is a good thing.
Unplanned thing we've ever done.
This is the biggest, most worthless thing we've ever done here on The Bachelor. No one will get any time. No exactly. One will have any fun. No connections will be made. The biggest and worst.
Unproductive. Wholly unproductive.
Unproductive. This is a waste of everyone's time.
these are taglines the season should have.
Yes.
A waste of everyone's time. No connections are getting formed.
No connections will be made. It's too big.
Everyone is now worse off for having participated in this.
It's entirely too big. We've ruined loads of lives.
Franco LaCosta, though, in the house. I was doing a little googly on him.
Love him.
He used to be the creative director of the show. For three
of
seasons, he was the creative director of the show.
Of this show?
Yes.
Modern or long time ago?
Well, I consider the whole thing, I don't know, modern.
You got Age. The first ones are the Stone Age, right?
No, he had nothing to do with those.
It's the current, okay.
Does he strike you as something? Now, keep in mind, this is the guy who wore the famous, you talk about lightning bolts striking the ground out of nowhere. When he wore that romper on Nick's season, it blew the world away.
Don't sell the suit short. It was an incredible outfit he was wearing in the undershirt to his suit. Mwah!
Yeah, it really was.
Fantastic.
Dean to shame in.
Breathtaking.
What did you think of the costumes? Naturally, gotta humiliate them, put them in costumes.
Yeah, we're all just getting in costumes. We're gonna try to humiliate you a little bit.
Little spinny cap.
We had a baby outfit for Meatball. We had a bunch of cowboys. You had a patient, a guy in a full cast thing. My note here was, I don't think you want to be in one of the groups. I don't think you want to be one of four cowboys. I think you want to be one of the suit guys if you're going to be a part of the group. I don't think you want to be one of the dork dudes with the spinner hats, and I don't think you want to be one of the cowboys. You won't stick out if you're in a group.
I couldn't tell you who was in the cowboy group.
I have no idea.
Jacob and Gabby.
Little Garden of Eden thing going on there. Jacob just got a leaf.
You got a leaf. Somebody always gets a leaf.
If you got the leaf, would you go no undies? Like
Hell
he
no.
did?
Nobody. They all had underwear on. Maybe.
You think he had undies?
Of course they had underwear on.
I don't know.
We do this every time. Nobody's naked.
I don't know.
It's like the, you know, Screen Actors Guild probably got something against
that. Why would Rachel say, I saw his junk multiple times?
Well, I
want to wearing
that
undies.
Because she said, she didn't refer to it as his junk. She said, I can't stop looking at his situation, which offended
me situation.
Because there's only one situation as far as I'm concerned,
Mike,
and it's not Jacob's
Tarantino.
Private parts. It's the situation. Capital T, capital S. Proposal shoot. This is Tino and Logan are with Rachel. How about Nate's proposal to Gabby? That obviously stood out among the four. He treated it like an actual dry run
mm-hmm.
for the
and
real
it
thing.
Worked. Gabby was blown away by it. It was beautiful. You think that's a little sneak peek for what's ahead of us?
I do. Don't want to spoil my power rankings, but
feel,
no one else could possibly propose. Photo turned out great, too.
The problem I'm wondering, though, Rim, you just used your material. I feel like he used
what
you'd want to say in a real proposal. So now, are you going to say the same thing again? That same beautiful thing?
Well, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to compare the two, because there will be two.
It's a good, yeah.
And we will have to compare, and I think this one, it's possible
it's gonna be
this
better.
Fake proposal on their first group date is better than that, the real proposal. But yes, I think he did what he should have done.
He's in
there.
The driver's seat. Take it very serious, you mean?
Not like uncomfortably so, but he stood out. When there's 19 people here, you got to stand out somehow, and that was the way to do it. The nighttime portion of the group date.
Wait, hold up. Gabby says, Nate makes me feel special in a way no one else does here. And they're kissing freely in front of everybody. Not a care in the world.
It was a photo shoot.
They're kissing freely, not a care in the world. I repeat.
Keep in mind, Franco is the architect of the topless Corinne in front of everybody.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the guy pushes the boundaries. But noted. Absolutely noted.
Abe. Okay, good.
Group date nighttime at SoFi Stadium.
This would be awesome. Just being in an empty NFL
absolutely.
Stadium, I'd be running around the outside. I'd just be running around places. You'd see, they did scenes where it was just the two of them like in the middle of the field. You would have seen me running behind them, just having a blast.
Doing
just
40s,
goofing off on
running
the field.
40 times.
I'd be goofing off.
It would be funny. You would expect with this group of guys, what we saw with Tossing the Pigskin Run, you'd expect them to like have a little impromptu NFL combine
game.
Doing
yeah.
drills.
Yeah, exactly.
Off to the side. But no, they basically had them trot out there one-on-one. Everybody gets to go have some one-on-one time on the field. First up, Rachel and Avon. He says he can see they can be funny and silly together now, too. I can see you being my best friend. They kiss.
Mm. A little champagne on the 50-yard line with a sofa. They trotted out a sofa out there. Nobody
Rachel
in sight.
And Avon didn't get a sofa. That was Tina.
Was that not them? Were they on the ground?
They're on a blanket, yeah.
Okay, never mind.
But you know how this turf is
still
nowadays.
Nobody
to
see. Nobody in the background. Wide shot. Nobody in sight.
Then they played some ball out there.
Yeah, played a little football. Rachel was acting like she can't play. Drops back. Perfect
yeah, she
spiral.
Launched it.
It's like, what are you talking about?
Up.
You obviously are good
teach
at football.
Teach me how to play football.
Yeah,
it's
teach
like,
me
okay,
how to play
you have
football.
You better arm than him.
They're a perfect spiral. You did a five-step drop. You're great at football. Do not lie to me. I see you.
I'm pretty sure she played football, and I would imagine they played football
Clayton.
In Clayton's,
yeah.
if I were to guess.
Listen, that wasn't your first time throwing a football around. Quit playing.
Rachel and Blank, I don't know who this is, and he like prefaces big kiss is like, I'm going to do something crazy, and then they kiss out. It was not a surprise move. It was
Let
like,
me
yeah.
see if I got the name here. They were flying through these dates and
sure
everything.
Were.
Avon and her were rolling around on the ground. Did we mention that in the end zone?
Yeah, after she scored a touchdown.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Just making sure.
We didn't mention it, but they were doing that.
They were doing that, and I noted here these two have chemistry.
They do.
Oh, it's Jordan. He goes, sometimes you got to create a moment, right? And she's like, yeah, I guess. And then he just kisses her. That was the moment you're talking about?
That
That's
was
not
it.
Creating a moment. That's just kissing someone.
Doing like standard operating procedure.
Sometimes you just got to create a moment.
Gonna do something so crazy here. It's like, dude, you should have seen her and Avon just now. Yeah, you got to do a little something else.
She's got to pull turf, those little black turf pieces out of her hair. Kidding me? Cares about what you're doing.
Rachel and Tino on the couch. Tino says, I'm only here for you, Rachel. They make out. Heavy.
Where do you think everyone else was? They get
the
to have fun?
Room. They were doing a tour of the locker room. Tours? Probably sitting around, yeah. I bet the locker room is crazy.
I bet the locker room is sick.
Watching a movie or something.
I was just curious what you thought they were doing. No one was on this. They would get sent out one at a time to the empty field. That's the scene that they were in there.
Gabby and Jake Novak from TikTok. Yeah, a little inside.
Little inside
Tyler
TikTok.
Is his name. Tyler is his name. He looks like him. Tyler brings up how
he
this
does
is Gabby.
Look like him.
This is Gabby. Did I say that was Gabby? He brings up how he felt a great connection with Rachel and he wants to pursue that. Gabby says that's great. You should tell Rachel. So that's one. Gabby and Hayden. Hayden says, "Hey, I'm here for Rachel as well." That's two.
It becomes a theme here.
Here we go again.
Here we go.
One after another, they put them together. They make it seem like no one wants one of them. In this case, it's Gabby.
Yeah.
Happened on the first group date. You'll recall when they were at the Bachelorette Mansion with just six of them, and they put three guys like, hey, I'm into Gabby, and or I only want to talk about boring
exact
shit with
shit
you.
They did to Rachel.
This is occurring the day after Rachel, or Gabby, was wondering, am I good enough for this, mm-hmm. on the Eric date?
Yep.
And the drop-in. So this is three situations now. They've made this case, does anyone like Gabby type of thing.
What did you think about Hayden, the first one, or maybe is he the second one?
Hayden was number two.
Hayden has the comment of the breakups, the one that stood out for most people, that she was rough. Yes. She said you have you're bubbly and you're goofy, kind of rough around the edges, and that's not something I'm interested in. Basically,
absolutely a poor choice of words.
Yes,
you could say it. I put villain alert after that.
Alert for sure.
Even though he probably didn't mean it like it came off.
I don't know how else you
mean
it.
What else would you be trying to say?
Like,
you're still trying to get the point across that like he's looking at you like, or she's just not.
I feel like
a bunch of things that
I'm
like
better
here.
Than you is what it means.
Probably. And he had that air about him too. I think I think Hayden is a villain alert.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a theory about these moments. I have a theory about this with Hayden and this with Jacob. So next up we get Jacob, who says, I have a better connection with Rachel. Both of them went like the extra step in the I'm going to pursue Rachel, but you know, you're great too. He said, if you were the only person here, I don't know if I'd have the heart to continue, but you are like, you're quite the looker. So you got that going for you. It was a little too blunt, Jake.
Yeah.
On that one.
What do you think about my thought when I was watching this was, hey, just don't have these conversations. Like if I'm not interested in Rachel or Gabby, I'm just playing standoffish with them and not, you know, I'm not.
Well, let's assume you're interested in one of them. You're going
to. Yeah, I'm saying if I'm interested in one and not the other, I'm just going to make it clear to them so they don't pull me. Like, I don't need to have a conversation where I break up with you to get airtime.
I pretty much agree. Although they have mentioned prior, like, two things. One, in the first and second episodes, they were like, they should all be open to both of us. And then they've also said they need to tell us where they stand. I'm with you. I don't think they need to have these.
I think you can
I've
tell
seen
them without
other
telling
shows
them.
With multiple leads where they don't have these formal I'm going with
Joe Millionaire,
you know,
did
team
this
A
and
B.
I only remember it happening one time. It's happened like 10 times already. Yeah. Where they're having to break up with the lead. You don't want your lead to lose confidence.
I'm with you. Add it to the fucking list. Amy,
you don't
what's
want
wrong
your
with
lead
this season.
To feel like they're getting dumped. You just don't want that. And it's constantly happening.
It's
because
constantly
of
happening.
How the show is set up.
Don't.
You don't this want is, your this... lead to lose their confidence because they're the lead of the show. They need to be charismatic. They need to have energy. They can't be, you know, they're the ones who push everything forward.
Yeah.
A good lead is energetic. You know, can give good speeches. They're in a good place. You're putting these women where they're not in good places anymore to be a lead.
Don't steal too much of the finale of this
go ahead.
Recap, baby.
Let's
don't...
keep it moving then.
But I, for the record, I agree. So Gabby's talking. She's like, they're saying this because I'm different. You know, my worst fears have been confirmed. Three guys just told me,
It was a triple breakup.
It was a triple breakup, one right after another. I think Rachel's probably going through something similar. Cut to Rachel
having the time
with several
of her
guys
life.
In a row telling her how much they all like her while Gabby cries, yep. interspersed with there. Two leads set up a disaster once again. So yep. Rachel takes her moment at the end to be the main bachelorette. You can kind of tell she's like, fuck yeah, I'm like on top of my game right here.
This
like
has been
everybody
a good night.
Likes me. This is my shit. Yeah, I killed it tonight.
I killed it.
So she gives a big speech and she offers Avon the group date rose. No surprise. Gabby does not. She says, it's been a tough week for me. I don't think I can offer a group date rose.
I just got broke up with three times.
Yep.
She has tears in her eyes.
And that's that. No toast.
No toast?
That's it.
No rose.
No toast.
I'm out of here.
No rose. Do you want to know my theory about why these guys did that?
Yes.
I think production guided the guys who they know don't have a connection with Gabby to talk with her, probably one right after another, and they told them to tell her that. And they probably nudged them to be blunt about it. Gabby's blunt.
Yeah, just go ahead and...
She'll appreciate your honesty.
Yeah.
It'll be no problem for her.
Don't beat around the bush.
They're doing this knowing what happened on the date with Eric, how she reacted to the drop-in earlier. Gabby now feels like she doesn't have a date rose to credibly hand out. And it continues, it hammers home that is Gabby unlovable, is Gabby wanted by anyone, mm-hmm. storyline. If Nate talked to her at night, I don't think Nate talked to her that night. I don't think they let him. If Nate talked to her, then she just gives the roast to Nate. It's no big deal.
Everyone was there.
Everyone was there.
But we only saw three instances of Gabby talking to people, and it was during breakups. They showed us no good interactions.
None. And I think that was by design, because they wanted this to happen. On the other side of the coin, another issue with the two leads thing, Rachel had a great night. Best night of her being a bachelorette so far.
Yeah, why does she have to have a bad night? Because Gabby had a bad night.
Because Gabby's in a bad spot. She can't marinate in that moment. She has to go off with Gabby to the side and get upset.
Now they both
because
have had
Gabby's
bad nights.
Upset. Yes. So they're trying to sell like the two best friends, you know, teaming up and like taking on the world and like going through it together. But like, I don't know. That kind of I have a feeling both of them deep down, if they had to tell the truth, they'd say like, I wish I were doing this on my own and not just for the reasons we've talked about thus far.
What's that show? That theme song that's like, for real, for fascinated, something incorporated. You know what I'm saying?
And
like,
we're gonna make it.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Thelma. Or no, not Thelma.
What's
Louise.
That show? Is it Laverne and Shirley?
Laverne and Shirley is what it is. That's it. We'll play that into the break. Let's take a quick break, AB.
We're going to make it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
There are some stories about my mom's life that I truly never get tired of hearing. From hilarious to heartfelt, tear-jerking to plot-twisting, her retelling of the events of her life, it always brings me joy. Just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom or mother figure for years to come. Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth will email your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. There's a wide variety to choose from. Some of my favorites are, do you have any keepsakes or heirlooms from your grandparents? And what's the furthest you've ever traveled? StoryWorth makes the writing process a breeze. All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter. Then you'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's responses as they're submitted over the course of the year. Take it from me, you'll love their retelling of the stories you already know, and you'll be surprised by stories you've never heard before. After 12 months of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for decades to come. You can even keep a copy of the book for yourself. Our family keeps these gorgeous StoryWorth books always within reach in the living room. They're great to read through whenever we're together, and I know they'll be passed down through the generations. Believe me, I'm not the only one who loves StoryWorth. There are more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of family stories preserved since the company was founded more than 10 years ago. So give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/Rosecast. That's StoryWorth.com/Rosecast to save $10 on your first purchase. At the house the next morning, the fellas are talking about how upset Gabby was. Maybe a few of them are starting to realize they're starting to see like all the repeated disasters that this format is creating. I think there was a big opportunity now for Nate and maybe Logan and whoever else is kind of high on the list to totally separate themselves from everyone else, pull way ahead. Because half of them are kind of wondering what to do, who to go with. The guys in the lead can slam on the gas and leave them in the dust, I think.
That's an excellent point. Yeah.
Thank you.
Maybe, had that been me?
Yep.
Had I been Nate?
You wish.
Yeah. I fucking wish I could pull off a fucking paperclip, a gold paperclip in my ear in that haircut. I'd kill.
Somebody said it was a pin. It was a safety pin, not a paperclip.
Oh, safety pin. It was
slight
a
difference.
I meant
yeah.
Safety pin the yeah, whole time.
I'm sure, I know, yeah.
Yeah. It's the safety pin, not a paperclip.
That has
yeah.
more heft to it.
I wish I could pull off the safety pin, the gold safety pin, and the Killmonger hair. But if that was me, if I had the Killmonger hair and the safety pin earring and oozing with swag, if had that been me, I would have moseyed my way down to the Bachelorette Mansion.
Hell yeah.
And fucking, let me check on how my girl's
doing. How are
doing.
You doing?
My
Do you mind
girl.
If I talk with Gabby?
Rachel opens the door. I say, is Gabby
Season
home?
Will be over.
Is Gabby home? I need to check how she's doing. My girl. That's what
season
I would have
be over. That might have happened.
That
the season would be.
It would have been
too,
a wrap. It would have been a wrap.
It was cinched it. Gabby and Rachel talking at the Westlake Village Inn for some reason. I don't know why they're not just at the mansion, but neither here nor there. And they both say, hey, we got to fix this.
This stinks.
We're not having any fun.
You notice we're constantly talking about things and we're saying this sucks as the people involved.
Yeah. We should be having more fun than we are.
Everyone's saying this. I hate this experience.
We can't move forward without making a change. Otherwise, it could end a disaster. I don't know who said it. Somebody said it. Cue the biggest rose ceremony disaster in the history of the show, which is really saying something.
You know, producers aren't doing anything here. Jesse is worthless. He's not doing shit. We got to do something. Me and you, Gabby and Rachel, we're going to make it. We got to do something.
That's what it came off as. I don't believe, I don't think that's what's happening.
No. But I'm guessing the producers gave them some choices and maybe nudged them towards this one. Like, told them that this would work.
Yeah.
They're getting bad advice. Everyone involved is getting bad advice. But, yeah.
The cocktail party. Jesse arrives. No music. Says no cocktail party.
Turn the studio down.
He said, hey, they realize this has been a debacle so far, and if this
not
thing continues going down this
is.
Path, they're not going to find love.
No one's to blame here.
Nope. Who could have seen this coming? Whatever you're going to say, it's not our fault.
It's
me and the people behind the
fault.
Cameras. It's not me. I had nothing to do with this. It's going bad. Seems like it's you guys. That's what it comes. Seems to me like it's your fault what's happening. I put here, this is probably the first time in show history where
one of a lead should probably quit. A lead legitimately should yeah. say, I'm going to quit. I'm not doing this. If you want me to do a separate season, I'll do it. Bring me A, B, and C guys, and we'll go from there. But this isn't worth it, what's happening right now.
I agree. So one of them should quit. If you want it to work, one of you needs to quit. I don't care which one. One of you should
quit. I'm not saying that's the only way it could work. I'm just saying, like, leads have previously said, oh, I don't know if I can do this. I might walk off. That was never going to happen. Here, it's like someone would be better off. Whoever quit either out of Gabby and Rachel would be better off for it.
It would help both of them.
It would just be the best case scenario for everyone involved at this point would be one of the leads quitting. That's what we're at in this season.
You know, I kind of blame myself here. When they announced the two bachelorettes, I thought, wow, this is a great idea. I can't wait for this. I feel like I wasn't in the minority. I thought people were intrigued by it. Well, we're finding out maybe two isn't the way to go.
They could have done it. That's the most upsetting thing. They could have done it. There have been shows with multiple leads. They go off without a hitch. Everything's fine. This is not that.
You know you're in a bad spot when freaking what's the show? Pauly D and what's his name?
Yeah, Double Shot at
Love. Pauly D and Vinny. When Pauly D and Vinny have a more, you know, put together reality TV dating show than
way
you,
more put together.
You know you have fucked up. You know you've messed up. That worked.
They should have
great.
Consulted the people who made Double Shot at Love featuring Jersey Shore's Pauly D and Vinny. They really should have gotten advice from them because that went way better.
Maybe a special advisory role for Pauly D and Vinny.
So here are the rules for this one-off rose ceremony. If you accept a rose, you commit to pursuing a relationship with the person who offers you the rose. That makes sense. We talked about that. We proposed that. That makes sense.
There has to be more rules, though, and I don't think they had more.
No, they didn't. It seemed like a little too little too late. There's a lot of unanswered questions. A
couple questions I had, Rem. I need to know more details. If the first person goes and asks you, do I need to take that rose? Like, is that my only rose chance, or could they both be... Have they talked to each other? I need to know if they've talked to each other. Because if they've talked to each other, Rachel and Gabby, they have 8 separate roses. None of the same people, right? So the rose I'm offered, I need to accept. That's what I need to know.
As a contestant, yes. That information would have been great for them.
Are any of their roses the same, or did they just select, you know, a draft style? So they have 8 different people or 9 different people.
Did they share a war room or did they have separate war rooms?
Like,
if they had separate war rooms, they could have roses for the same guy.
Separate war rooms.
Real draft.
You know, then I just didn't feel like they had all the information.
She took Logan around before I expected. Yeah. How do I adjust?
Mm-hmm.
You're right, AB. The guys didn't have all the information.
If I'm asked by one person, is there even a chance that the other person offers me a rose? Because, you know, I might like both.
Yeah, sure.
But I like Mike, you know, Gabby and Rachel. I like them both, but I'm further along with, not saying I couldn't get there with Gabby, but let's say I'm further along with Rachel, so I'd rather accept a rose from her. But if Gabby offers me and I know Rachel hasn't given it to me and I still feel a little something with Gabby, I'll take that rose.
Yes.
I'll keep going. Let me see how
things
go.
There's a lot of scenarios here. There's way,
you know,
there's so
I've
many scenarios.
Each of them, I've talked to Rachel once and Gabby twice. So maybe I'm not ready to, I'll just take whatever rose. I'm not sure on either.
You know what would have been extremely helpful here, AB?
What?
A cocktail party.
A cocktail
where everyone
party
can talk
really
and get
helped.
On the same page.
Yeah,
here.
Wouldn't that have helped? Wouldn't that
have
really helped?
Because
now
we're going into a rose ceremony where contestants can decline roses in hopes they get one from another.
I could really use another sit down. With one or both of the ladies. Please.
Everybody get on the same page.
Yeah.
They could split us up here. Then that way we know what pools we're being drafted from rose-wise. We'll get to it. Here's the rose ceremony. Avon and Zach have Rachel date roses. Eric has a Gabby date rose.
One other thing. I don't want to cut you off. Did you think it was weird that the people that already had roses didn't have a choice? Like, who's
to say...
The change
was made midweek.
Who's to say... Who are the guys that had roses?
So Avon and Zach have Rachel date roses, but Avon's was a group date rose, so that strikes
me as
more nebulous.
Yeah, so like, who's to say Avon wants Rachel?
Yeah, he didn't have a choice, AB.
What if he feels something more with Gabby?
Yeah. Are you starting to not like this episode now?
No, I'm not. I liked it.
But I mean,
add these questions. There's insane. A lot of questions.
There's a lot of questions. Gabby opens up by saying, no one could have seen these hurdles. Gabby was like that meme of, I think it's Tim Robinson, where he's in the hot dog costume and he goes, we're all trying to find the guy who did this. Although it's not Gabby's fault. It's like, when she said no one could see this coming, I was like, that's so false. Everyone saw these being a total disaster.
We're all trying to find the guys who did this. One of the great memes.
I mean, honestly, sometimes I feel like who could see this coming? Gabby, they're telling Gabby and Rachel and Jesse to go out there and be like, wow, this is who really, it wasn't production's fault, whatever you're thinking, it wasn't them back there.
This is just a bunch of it's impossible to foresee what happened here. There's no way that Since anyone could have seen this coming. Too many twists and turns.
Embarrassing. There's been so many shows with two leads. It's been fine. This did not need to happen. So here are the roses. Rachel gives hers to Tino. What did you make of Tino? Like, why did they go to this green room winner circle?
That's Joe Millionaire too, kinda. You know Joe Millionaire, yeah, they were all sitting in the room and then they'd go into another room and they'd kinda like celebrate when they got there, which I like.
They're ripping off Joe Millionaire, AB.
I know that. I can tell what they're doing. I know what they're doing. All the guys were sitting in a room, packed house again. They have no rooms that can accommodate this many people. They need to get rid of 10 people, probably, at this point.
They need to punch out the back wall of this room and add on.
Yeah, you got
to
add an addition here. That's what they needed. But anyways, they're giving out roses. And then when you get a rose, they had two separate rooms, like a Rachel room and a Gabby room. So if you got a rose from Rachel and you accepted, you roll over to the Rachel room and you dap up with all the other Rachel guys.
Yeah,
if you get a Gabby rose, you go over to the Gabby space and you dap up all those guys. You're celebrating. It's different than we've ever seen before. There's no going back in line and watching the rest of the rose ceremony. You're done once you get your rose.
I kind of would have liked them to stay because you get their facial reactions at the time. You see them sweat a little
I don't know
bit.
Which one I like more, because I do like the celebratory enter the room, like, it's fucking Nate or whoever. You know, that's good. But yeah, the facial expressions are kind of what's one of the great things about this show.
That's not a top 100 gripe I had about this episode, so it doesn't matter. Next up, Gabby. They're alternating. Gabby's goes to Nate, of course. Rachel to Logan.
These are in order.
No question are they in order. This is the most in order they've ever been.
If you have a power rankings at the end of this, which I assume you do, and they are different than this list, you're dumb.
Yeah. Well, the group date roses throw it off, because I don't think Avon and Zach.
But you shouldn't have... You should not have Spencer ahead of Nate in the
Tremaine
order.
Is not
because
ahead of
this
Logan.
Order of men, if you're listing these guys, this is the order of which they're at in their heads, period.
Agreed. Gabby goes to Johnny. Rachel offers Tremaine a rose. He says, look, I don't want to be the first guy to decline the rose, but I'm going to decline.
This is Crypto Guy.
Of course, Crypto Guy wants to day trade his relationship status, try to maximize profit. So here we are. We're here. They first decline. He says he has a deeper connection with Gabby. We're left to wonder, does Gabby feel the same way? Where does Tremaine go? Does he go back with the group? My perception was they obviously pre-split them up. They talked about this.
They said, I'll take him, you take him.
Yeah. They have separate lists. So... if Gabby wants to offer Tremaine a rose, do they have to add one to the thing? I think anyone declining a rose, even with the lack of information, anyone declining a rose should have known that there is not a rose for you on the other table. Because I'm pretty sure the roses came out to how many people were there. I don't know if they're planning to send anyone home after this. But because only the people who declined...
You know, I think
maybe
Jacob. You are right. You're right.
I think Jacob was the one who didn't get one. But most of the people
Jacob
who declined,
just was not getting one.
It might have been just
was
him.
It only one person going home? I think it was
because I think so.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because it's 9 and 9 now.
Yeah. Wow.
So my point is, the people who declined should have known they were not going to get a rose from the other person. They should have known that. Anyway, so afterwards, Jesse comes in and he's like, "Hey, this shit's out of control already.
We didn't think this would happen." Just another one of those speeches.
Yeah,
we didn't prepare for this happening.
Yeah. Wow. Let me. I had to talk with them and see what we're gonna do.
We didn't prepare for this.
You decline Rachel's rose because you want Gabby.
Gabby Jesse doesn't have one for you. He should have said that, right?
He should have just said that.
Gabby does not have one.
This is information they could have told them at the cocktail party. You could have said, hey, if you decline a rose, you're not getting any roses.
You're going home.
So Jesse says, go back to the pool, Tremaine, see if Gabby's going to offer you a rose. Obviously, she's not going to.
And I'm going to take this rose off of Rachel's side. I'll take
rose,
this.
Throw it in the trash.
This is a bombed rose.
Yep. Then we get Gabby to Spencer, Rachel to Alec, who rejects Rachel's rose. That's two for Rachel in a row.
Jesse walks back in. Why was Jesse leaving
the room?
Just stay in the room. Quit making it so dramatic. It's
back
already
up a little bit.
Rachel just wants these moments to end, but instead we have to like call Jesse back in. He has to just stroll in slow as hell.
He's sitting
and
on a
say
couch.
Something again. He's like, of course, now I got to take a rose from Rachel again.
As I just
you don't
told
have
you.
A rose. You have less guys now. You've been rejected again. I will take this rose, and then I'm going to leave the room.
Give me that. So that was Alec. Gabby offers her rose to Jason, who accepts. Rachel to Tyler. Gabby to Mario. Rachel to Ethan. Gabby to Kirk. Rachel to Jordan. Gabby to Quincy. Rachel to Meatball. Meatball declines Rachel's rose. And I didn't feel too bad about it because she was like laughing. She was like, you know what, Meatball, that's kind of, you know, that's fine. Like, I'll be all right without the comic relief character.
Yeah. Thought I was doing you a favor.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Really,
buddy.
Honestly, Meatball, like, really?
Well, fuck off, Meatball.
Then they walk out, Gabby and Rachel. We're not done yet. They walk out. They talk with producers. They're saying, like, this looks horrible. We look, you know, this is humiliating. We feel rejected. I'm guessing one of them said this two lead thing is the worst idea you've ever had, and they probably cut that. But I'm probably that would come out of my mouth if I were one of them. What were you thinking?
I just would like to know, best case scenario, what did you want to happen?
How
here?
Did you see this playing out?
How did you
out?
See this working?
Gabby offers Michael a rose. That's her last rose.
I mean, if you're Meatball, you got to take that rose. What the
what
fuck
is Meatball
is he doing?
Thinking?
What
one.
Is he doing? What are you doing, Meatball? You see the roses on that other table? There's two.
And there's like five
there's
guys.
There's five
back
guys
there.
Back here. Your name is Meatball.
And
take
all
the
of them
fucking
said, I'm
rose
here for
that
Gabby.
You get.
Take the rose,
you are
Meatball.
Here not to win. You are not winning yeah, with a that, name no like question. Meatball, walking in with a meatball sub, pouring marinara sauce on you. That isn't how you win. You aren't God, winning.
Have some self
you are here
meatball.
To get on Bachelor in Paradise, and then you will find your love. Okay? That's it. That's your
That's
only
it.
Chance at success on this show is staying as long as possible as the meatball guy, the funny guy, no connection with anybody. They might keep you longer because you're fun. And then you go to paradise. People love you still. You can't turn down that rose. You cannot.
No. The first, Tremaine turned down the rose first. That was misguided. By the time I got to meatball, that is
too many
a
roses have been
the
removed.
Ages. Exactly.
So there was one rose remaining. You know there's three other guys behind you or four that couldn't get it. And you think you're going to get that last rose? Do the math.
Meatball, you think you're
Meatball.
Getting it over Michael, over Hayden, over... I mean, come on.
Come on, buddy.
Do the math.
Do the math.
So Hayden accepts his Hayden accepts this rose. He milked his time. I had noted that here. Hayden took his time. No roses were Alec, Jacob, Tremaine, and Meatball. Three of those people declined roses from Rachel. Everyone who declined a rose didn't get one.
Mm-hmm.
During the credits, did you see the credits?
I didn't watch the credits. They did a quick go, what's coming up next, and I just turn it off then.
I don't listen, watch that either. During the credits, Meatball came back.
What do you mean?
During the credits, Meatball pulled Rachel.
What?
Rachel, do you want to know a spoiler, a meatball spoiler for next week?
Yes.
He was in the preview for next week.
Meatball was back.
Meatball is back.
What'd he say? I'll take the
he
rose
was like,
now?
Hey, yeah, basically, yeah. And she was like, yeah, fucking whatever.
She said,
here's the thing. It was probably, hey, we need even numbers. And they probably said Meatball.
So Meatball
we need you.
Actually
you're
back.
You're fresh meat for paradise, buddy. Yeah,
Meatball's
back.
That was really fucking stupid. As soon as he got off stage, like as soon as the producers
talked
like,
about.
What the fuck are you doing? If you are offered a rose, you take the rose. It's not a real rose.
Well, it's like Winston Zeddemore said, Ray, if someone asks you if you're a god, you say yes. Ghostbusters. Anyway.
So Meatball's back. Spoiler.
Meatball's back, and it gives them an even number. So.
Well, they should. There's. Oh, okay. So Rachel had two guys.
Yep. So Rachel got declined three times, but then one of them came back. So she got declined twice, and she already had two roses.
Yeah. So they're
and then
equal.
She gave out one more rose at the ceremony than Gabby did, so it's even. I can go through the dating pools now if you want.
I would like that.
Rachel has Avon, Zach, Tino, Logan, Tyler, Ethan, Jordan, Hayden, and Meatball. Gabby has Eric, Nate, Johnny, Spencer, Jason, Mario, Kirk, Quincy, and Michael.
Okay.
Any other comments before I do little ranty stuff? I have predictions for the coming weeks and then some ranty stuff.
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, Rim. I was rooting for guys to turn down roses. I'm going to shoot you straight. In the moment,
obviously,
I was rooting for it.
I burst out laughing
when she got the
time
when Rachel had the first rose declined. I'm like, ah, oh, this sucks. Then the second one happened, and then I was openly cheering for more. And I feel bad, but I need to come clean about that. I was cheering for people to turn down Rachel in particular, not because I dislike Rachel, because it was funny.
I was laughing as well, but it was mostly in disbelief.
How dumb
I could
this
not
whole
believe
thing is.
They let this yeah. happen. Yes, I just couldn't believe that it all could have been prevented. Here are my predictions for the coming weeks, AB. I think it becomes really clear, crystal clear, especially among Gabby's suitors, who is relevant and who is not. We have 9 and 9. I mean, the bottom half of that draft on both sides is guys who can't win, basically. I think we cut it down from 18 to about 10 very quickly. In part because I don't think each lead is going to get 4 hometowns and 3 overnights.
Oh, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that.
Because that's 2 episodes of content. I think they're going to get 3 hometowns and 2 overnights each.
Oh.
And maybe you can jam that into 3 hours. Otherwise, you're going to just have a short feeling
what
2
if they
hours.
Do, what if they just do them on 2 separate day episodes?
That's maybe if they have a double episode, I don't know if they do or not, but that's, you would have to do that.
Like you do a Monday, Tuesday, 2 weeks in a row for hometowns and overnights.
Yeah.
Just
hate that personally.
Well, time wise, yes. But if you want it to work at this point, or if you want it to be like
fair,
you literally
guess, in quotes,
they're kind of, it seems like they're moving toward, yeah, in air quotes, it's going to work. They're moving towards it being 2 separate seasons is what it sounds like. So if you're going to do that, make it completely separate and give them the full hometowns, full overnights on 2 separate days and make it like you're watching 2 separate seasons at once.
Maybe. This is just my guess, is they each get like
3. Yeah,
2/3 of a season.
Sure.
Yeah. Because you can't, I mean, what are you going to push Claim to Fame to Tuesday?
Which one's Claim to Fame?
Is that the one with the bonus Jonas? A lot of people told us they call him the Bonus Jonas,
Jonas?
Is a great nickname
great
behind
nickname.
The situation.
Yeah. That's good.
Anyway, yeah, I don't, you know, I think that's probably what's going to happen. I don't know for sure. Here are my post-show thoughts, AB. This is a full page. Chime in as you please. This was the most flabbergasting episode of this show I've ever seen in my life. Flabbergasting. They used a Gabby feels unworthy storyline from her one-on-one date. They exacerbated, and they keep in mind, they spliced in things that I don't believe occurred on that date to make it seem
disingenuous.
Disingenuous. They exacerbated it on the group date, and then they set up a rose ceremony where they knew Rachel would get more rejections than Gabby. If you recall, before, prior to the rose ceremony, Rachel was like, wow, I can't believe so many of these guys aren't into Gabby. And then boom, Rachel gets 3 rejections. They knew that was going to happen.
Of course they did.
For the most part. I think they knew probably 2 of those were going to occur. And even if they didn't, you could have prevented it with a cocktail party and just said what it was. The audience for this show is 80% women, at least. The way you make it successful is to put your female characters in cast members and leads in positions where they can come off as relatable, desirable by the other people there, heroic even.
Mm-hmm.
people want to see, viewers want to see them succeed. They want to root for them and they want to live through them a little bit. You want to put yourself in their shoes. Occasionally, you exploit their heartbreak.
Sure.
Because that's relatable too, and you want to build sympathy, and you can also parlay that into future storylines and seasons. But for the most part, you want to put them in good spots.
You want your lead to be on a pedestal.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Pro wrestling, I'll get to it later. Somehow they are doing the opposite of that. At every turn, every single scene was like, this is the opposite of how you should be positioning these people. Culminating in the dumbest rose ceremony I've ever seen.
Yeah.
They had to take multiple breaks to like
gather
themselves.
Where the leads were just like, hey, what
this
the?
This is so
this
terrible.
This is fucking terrible. I'm having a very bad time. Can anyone do something?
Please, what should we do? It's
Can
not
somebody
this.
Help us.
There was no saving it at that point, though.
No, it's
because
too late.
You know, they were in it.
Yeah.
It's insane how they're doing this, especially given the specific history of these two people.
Mm-hmm.
Gabby and Rachel were chosen to be dual leads because they suffered simultaneous, unbelievable public heartbreak. And now the show is making them look repeatedly, all throughout the episode, undesirable around a group of mostly unexcited male contestants. I can't believe that's the picture they're painting. Like, Gabby and Rachel already went that route. We've seen them feel that way. That's not why we're tuning into this season, to see them feel that way again. Pro wrestling, that's what the show is. In professional wrestling, you position your characters to appear a certain way, good or bad, babyface or heel, whatever. Typically, you want your babyface champions to appear physically superior or like they have more heart or something about them that shows they can beat their opponents.
Absolutely.
This roast ceremony was like, if you toss the reigning champion in early in the Royal Rumble, they get tossed around by smaller competitors and they slide under the ropes and they fake an injury outside the ring until the very end and then like pop up and win. It's like, oh, well, that's not a very...
You made them look weak.
You made them look weak.
Made them look weak.
And they're the champion.
Yeah.
Like we've touched on, having two leads is not impossible. Joe Millionaire did it. I mean, Joe Millionaire was a sloppy, silly show, but it worked.
Better than this.
Double Shot at Love had like real regimented who's on whose side thing.
Yeah.
Compared to this. I recently watched season one of F-Boy Island. Okay. Two leads.
Is that
three
sure
leads,
good?
Excuse me. I think you should watch it. I think you'd love it. That's neither here nor there. I was surprised by how much I enjoyed
it. I've seen some clips from Glazer, and they're funny. She seems like a great
it's
host.
Funny.
She made me... I saw a couple clips, and I'm like, why is she not the host? This would be way more entertaining than Jesse.
It was fun.
She's
it's a funny show. They do like skit. There's like skits every episode that make me burst out. We're off track, but I think F-Boy Island was entertaining. And there was a lot of things they did on F-Boy Island that were like, I prefer this to what The Bachelor does. The difference between this show and those shows is The Bachelor takes itself really seriously compared to those other shows. So the stakes, everything feels like it has more weight.
Agreed. Yeah.
And I'm wondering, honestly, if this season's even going to be fun.
Well, I think I think they're doing what they should do.
Yes.
Let's just, you know, start over, basically. This is going to suck. This rose ceremony. People are going to get rejected. But going forward, no one's making a decision. All these guys are here for Rachel. That's all. Your only option. All these people are here for Gabby. Only option. Just like normal Bachelor, Bachelorette. You go on dates with them. You go on dates with them. Hopefully this is like a new season going forward. What they should have done from the beginning, which is do it completely separate. They should have had 60 guys there for Rachel. 30 guys for Rachel and 30 guys for Gabby, and just done two Bachelors
and
at
cut
the
12
same time.
Each.
Cut a bunch the first nights. Have everyone there for a specific person. Don't even let them talk to the other lead.
Yeah, what you're describing is they should have just had
two
seasons.
Seasons. That's what I'm describing. Yeah, they should have done two seasons. Yeah. Yeah, probably.
I mean, you're right. It is like maybe a fresh start next week, but... We still have the time issue where all the segments feel like half segments.
Yeah, agreed.
I wish we had a magician here to ease the tension. I know that. I wish a magician was around so we could have some fun on this season.
couple twin hijinks.
Yeah,
wouldn't be
wouldn't mind
nightmare.
Some hijinks here and there. No. Yeah. Instead, we just get the leads crying every episode, dissatisfied with how this is going for them.
Yep. Well said.
So that's how I feel about
it. No disagreements here.
All right. Are you ready for the post recaps? That's the episode. Are you ready to do my post recap segments here?
Yeah. Who are you giving the tag team belt to?
That's a great question. No one deserved it. We'll go with Gabby and Rachel on this one because they had the moment where
enough is enough.
They had that, and they also had after the group date, they're off to the side after Gabby didn't give out a rose, and Rachel was like, "What's wrong?" And she was like, ready to go fight and all that stuff.
They're supporting each other. I like that. That's the one thing I like.
It's
like them against the world right now.
Yeah. And the world is everyone in their immediate vicinity.
Yeah.
The people they are supposed to be relying on for guidance.
Against them.
Them against them. So, yeah, we'll do that. Tag team champions. Here are my power rankings. Nothing crazy. Rachel, I went Zach, Avon, Logan, Tino. Zach is so far up there right now.
You got Avon over Tino?
Yeah. I mean, whatever. Okay. It doesn't matter. It's just Zach.
Yeah.
Same with Gabby. It's just Nate. Just Nate's at the top. Nate. And then Eric, Johnny, Mario.
Okay. Okay.
Mailbag, you ready for it?
Yeah. A bunch of these people I'm sure are gone now, but yeah.
Some of them. That's the eternal issue with the mailbag. 773-234-7794. The question last week was, who among the no screen time guys do you want to see more of? Megan from Charleston. I need to see more Avon. He's cute. He seems nice. He's got a cool name, and I agree he seems to get attention, but we don't really know anything about him. I have a hunch that he's a sleeper. Thank you, Megan.
I agree.
Yeah. He did well on that group date.
Yeah. He wouldn't be eligible anymore.
Yeah, that's fair to say.
Yeah.
Marley from Puerto Rico. I would love to see more of Spencer. In his entrance with the chairs, he mentions his mother and sister, which shows a soft side. Additionally, being a graduate student, he must have some depth and interesting long-term goals. I would love to see more of his social interactions with the girls and also with the guys in the house. Hopefully he's not a smart idiot. Thank you, Marley. This is from Haley in Hudson, Ohio. So my best friend Marley just wrote this to you guys. I would like to add that we have dual inbox.
These two are conversating in
more or less
the mailbag.
Mailbag.
I like that. Through the show. Talking to each other.
No, they really are.
I can get down with that.
Does Marley know that Haley sent this? Maybe. I don't know. Haley adds that he's a total hunk and I wouldn't mind getting to see more of him on my screen. Eyes emoji.
Spencer? We're talking Spencer here.
Spencer.
Okay. Both are interested in Spencer simultaneously, but not together. Do these two know that each of them sent something about Spencer?
Well, Haley acknowledged that Marley
just sent something. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Maya from Sweden. There are three guys who haven't had screen time whom I'm excited to see more of. Ethan. Not many East Asian contestants in past seasons, so I hope he gets his time to shine. Michael,
agreed.
I feel like he looks like the CGI young. We got more on that. Michael, I feel like he looks like the CGI young version of Will Smith in Gemini Man. Didn't catch that one.
I haven't seen Gemini Man, unfortunately.
I'm sure it's. I'm positive it's terrible. Termaine, I'm just waiting on some cringe moments with him being a crypto guy. Thank you, Maya. Natasha says I'd love to hear more about Ethan on the show. Asian guys always seem to get the short shrift. No interviews and no one-on-ones for the most part. Give this guy a shot, ladies. That's from Natasha. Emily in Mississippi says, I want to see more of Ethan.
Oh, Ethan.
He's so good looking and I want to see an Asian bachelor. Emily going 0-60.
Hell yeah.
That is true though. The list of one and done or three episodes and gone with no screen time Asian guys on this show is consistent all the way through. Amy from Delaware, I'll tell you who I'm not looking forward to seeing more of, Logan. Logan is a snake, all caps. He's a sweet talker who isn't truly interested in either of them.
Oh, wow.
Can you say here for the wrong reasons? I'm telling you, keep an eye on Logan. Parentheses, this is not based on anything other than my internal red flag meter. So,
I didn't pick that up yet, but I've got my eye on him now.
Amy from Delaware's red flag meter has got you, your ears perked up.
I trust Rosecast Nation. They say I need to watch out for someone. Number one, she's probably got spoilers, Rim. She's probably,
yeah, that,
she,
yeah, that
probably
struck me.
Has spoilers. You got to remember that. Amy probably has spoilers.
The parenthesis thing was like, I was like cover up, like a little
disclaimer. If you have
like,
to say you don't do something, you did it.
So true.
Got my eyes
Nate
on Logan.
Yeah. Nate in Hawaii. For me, I'm so bummed Jordan V got booted. He and Rachel both had so much anxiety during their meal and the pressure with to pick the right guy. The relationship fell apart in an instant. Under normal circumstances, she would have gotten on another date. I had Jordan V going far out the first episode and didn't pay much attention to the other guys. I also don't get the hype around Logan. Thank you, Nate. Here are a couple messages from people who want to save the show, save the season. Now, even though it's too late to do these ideas, I feel they're worth highlighting. 561 area code. Have each guy write the name of the bachelorette they are most interested in. Then have Gabby and Rachel each write down who they'd like to pursue further. This would be followed by a dramatic rose ceremony where everyone finds out who matched with who.
Oh, a matching thing.
And the ones who don't match go home.
You get some technology under their rim. You put them on little pedestals. The pedestal will light up. Bing! Green. If it's right, you know what I'm saying?
Or drop into a dunk take in the basement.
You know what I'm saying there?
Match.
So I'm standing there, you know, me and Rachel, if we've matched, ding! Green, and I'm through the room. If it's X, and I'm X for both of them, I'm out. You know what I'm saying? You feel me?
Yeah. I'm going to finish this.
get some technology in there.
It would be dramatic and suspenseful, but ultimately give these wonderful women an actual shot at finding love. From there on out, the show would run like two separate but concurrent seasons. Thank you, 561 area code. A lot of ways they could have went about it. They didn't do any of them. Graham from North Carolina. I think if they continue with this idea that if the girls can send a guy home without consulting the other bachelorette, they should give each bachelorette a save. And they get to save someone who was sent home by the other one on a one-on-one.
I love a good save or golden ticket or whatever the fuck they have on American Idol. Maybe a certain color of pass or something. I don't know what they do. I love a good save. I love it.
Well, Meatball got saved, kind of. He just was like, can I come back? And she's like, yeah. It was kind of a save. It's like when somebody wins Power Veto. Is what happened with Meatball. If they're on the block and they went Power Veto, they're like, I'm going to use this on myself. Yep. I'm back. Thank you, Graham. Emily from Boston, in regards to Rachel sending Jordan home on behalf of both leads, wouldn't it be interesting if the other lead had a chance to save the guy when the lead sends them home?
Same thing.
Love to see Jordan have to make a pitch to Gabby to stay, and then she decides if she will save him. Thank you, Emily. Lastly, Maggie from Austin says, this show is getting so much wrong this season, but the one thing I'm really enjoying is how often they break the fourth wall.
Yeah.
Last week, I audibly gasped when they showed Gabby and Rachel breaking through production to kick Chris out, and this week, I burst out laughing when they showed a guy crouch and run down the hall during the rose ceremony. It feels more like Bachelor in Paradise sometimes, which helps counteract the pain of watching the producers ruin these girls' lives. Thank you, Maggie. All right, AB, what do you have this week? What's the question?
I want the thoughts on the rose ceremony, Rim. It's the most iconic scene I can remember in a long, long time. What did you like? What'd you dislike? What went wrong? What would you have done differently? Any of the above. Answer
Spill
those.
Spill it. Spill what you
Spill
think.
Spill what you thought.
773-234-7794. A couple of scoring things. The Rose League. Congratulations to this week's winners, Team Lauren Stuteville and Team SRW1. Each had 139 points.
Only two? Two winners?
Two winners.
Congratulations.
Still early.
Congratulations.
Message us, preferably on Instagram or maybe in the mailbag. We'll get you a sticker. Did you submit your picks?
Forgot,
that's the real
Rim.
Question.
I forgot.
Unbelievable.
Vacation hangover, Rim. That's all that was. Vacation hangover. That's all.
Well, it's affecting your work.
You know, I think I might just take this season off. Is it?
Yeah, might as well now.
It's too late for me. Yeah. Nope.
You can still get up there in the weekly. It would really be something if AB got up in the weekly.
I'm going to do it next week.
The overall standings, Team Addie Feldman leads the way with 287 points. Addie Feldman, you won a sticker last week. Send us a message. We can get it to you. Followed by Jumbro, Pilot Pete, Scarface, Rosie Side-Eye, and Allie Fitz. Those are the top five overall right now. I'm 477th out of 860. Thanks for playing, Rim.
What if I catch you?
That's the storyline to follow now. Yeah. Mediocre Rim putting in these middle-of-the-road lineups.
All right, I'm ready for next week. I'm ready.
Our snake draft update. You have 60 points. I have 62. Reminder, this is a traditional bracket scoring where you get increasing points for each rose ceremony. You lost James, Alec, and Termaine from your team. I lost Jacob. However, I feel you have the better roster going forward. You have Zach, Avon, Eric, Tino, Mario, Quincy, Jordan H. Kirk. I have Nate, Johnny, Logan, Ethan, Michael, Hayden, Tyler, Jason, Spencer. I think you have three potential winners, and I probably have two.
Still anybody's game.
How about a headline of the week?
I got you, Rem. E! News. Love is Blind's Natalie Lee. You've watched Love is Blind, right?
First season, yeah.
Love is Blind's Natalie Lee raises eyebrows on trip with Bachelor Nation's Blake Moynes. Listen, if there's a Blake Moynes headline, it's getting read as the headline of the week.
Google alert.
Okay. Yeah. I have a Google alert. It looked like they were getting a little cozy. I like Natalie Lee. I like Blake Moynes. I like that couple. Okay.
I think I agree. I remember her now.
I liked her.
I believe I watched
her. She was with the loud guy who turned out to be terrible.
Yeah.
Which Blake is a loud guy who also might be terrible, so maybe this won't work.
I remember that. I watched those first couple episodes of that season.
Yep.
Wow, that's big.
Yeah, big news.
He's just killing time in between appearances on this.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be in paradise, right?
Wow, one can only hope. I think that's all we got. I've calmed down. Thanks for letting me get off my chest here.
Feeling better? I'm telling you what, I think the rest of the season...
I'm feeling like this is the season's toast.
No. I think we're having a brand new... It's new life after this week. New life. New season. Separate, but better.
The worst is probably over.
The worst is over. It can't get worse than that, can it?
No, but I do think someone will try to switch sides.
Interesting.
Yeah. I do. So, on that note, thanks for listening. Talk to you later.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.